I'm with Claude from Arm & Strom. Hey, Claude, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for letting me do this.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate this. Is this your first JCK?
This is the first JCK, yes.
How has it been for you?
It's been very good. Yeah, we had a lot of success. We meet many retailers. We had a lot of press people coming. It was a good show for us.
Excellent. And do you find that, you know, this is going to translate to the retailers, to the end consumers? Do you feel like there's a lot of passion and energy behind the reception to Arm & Strom?
Yes, I think so. Absolutely, yeah.
Good, good. For those people who don't know, Arm & Strom is probably one of the coolest independent watchmakers around. They specialize in the skeletonization of watches. You know, JCK is a watch and jewelry show that happens every year in Las Vegas. And, you know, that's where basically a lot of the brands come to meet with retailers and press. I'm lucky enough because Claude is the man behind the product for Arm & Strom, so we're going directly to the source. Do you want to tell people how Arm & Strom kind of started and what the journey was all about, the concept, the creation, and, you know, how is it different from the time Arm & Strom himself started, and how is it different now?
Okay, the brand Arm & Strom started in 1967 by Mr. Arm & Strom.
Okay.
Mr. Arm & Strom was a master watchmaker, and he was very known for skeletonizing watches. So he was like the master of skeletonizing in the Swiss watch industry. So his idea was always to have the mechanic, the movement, which is the heart of the watch, visible from both sides, to see the mechanism, to see the wheels, to see the gear trains, to see the escapement and everything. And he was one of the first doing this in 1967.
Wow.
So, I mean, most of the watches, they cover their movement by a dial. Huh? Maybe some of them, the top models, they open up the backside
right.
with the sapphire crystal to see the movement. So many watch collectors, they buy their watches with the sapphire crystal on the backside to see
the movement of the watch,
to see the mechanic, to see the nice finishing what the watchmaker does. And the philosophy of Arm & Strom, of the brand Arm & Strom, is to have this already on the dial side.
So he was really ahead of his time, because if you look at even the big watchmakers today, whether it's Vacheron, Breguet, you know, Audemars, any of the big considered the big brands in the watch industry, the more mainstream brands, you know, they really started doing skeletonization only in the last 20 years, you know. So for Arm & Strom to be that pioneering is absolutely amazing. Now, and you've kind of stuck with the philosophy of that, of Mr. Strom's vision of, you know, further enhancing these watches by always, you know, paying homage by, you know, skeletonizing them, even today in your models, right?
Absolutely, yeah. There are two main things that we keep from Mr. Arm & Strom is this skeletonizing. So every watch has a skeleton, at least one skeletonized opening. So we have the dial, which is skeletonized on all our watches to see the movement. Then we have at least one big skeletonized opening.
Okay.
It could be for a barrel or a gear train or whatever. And he was always using the hand engraving. So till today, we always use some hand engraved parts on the movement.
That's great. And you also have a part on the watch that you pay tribute to, which is the lip, right?
The lip, exactly.
Can you explain to the public at large what the importance of the lip still is today?
The idea was to put the buyer's initial on this lip. So his philosophy was that the buyer can customize his piece.
That's great. That's really great. And it's funny because a lot of times when you look at designs on watches, you don't know why they did it, and neither do they. They have no idea why they put, you know, a lip or something just out of the ordinary.
Yes.
But the fact that this lip serves a purpose even till today is, I still think it's pretty much, it's ahead of its time because it really does provide the end consumer with something completely individual if they want it to be. How many, what percentage of watches that you make today would you say do people want that lip engraved?
We deliver about 20% with the buyer's initial from the company.
Okay.
But also our retailers, they have engravers who engrave then the initials of the buyer. So okay. Let's say if somebody picks his watch up in LA or he buys his watch in Dubai, so the local retailers, they also have engravers which are able to add his initials on the watch.
Excellent. And are there other parts on the watch, you know, like if somebody wants a special engraving on the balance or something like that, do you guys, if you do a custom piece, I'm sure that's an additional charge, or are you very firm with your guidelines and no, it's just, if you want initials, it's only on the lip and that's it?
No, customizing is a big thing, what we do today, because that's where he's from, Armin Strom. He was doing customized pieces at the beginning. He was only producing unique pieces for collectors.
I see.
Till today, we do completely customized pieces. So that can start with the initials on the lip, but it can also be with the special, fully engraved movements with diamonds on the movement, with special skeletonizings, special coloring. So everything is possible.
That's very interesting. What are the watches made out of, and how many pieces do you make per year?
Customized pieces?
No, regular pieces.
Regular pieces. Our production is about 450 pieces this year.
Okay. Yeah. So again, extremely, extremely rare, not mass produced, very, very low production numbers. I believe you're only in 6 dealers in the United States, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly.
You're in some of the best retailers in the country. Serge is the owner
of
the company.
Serge is the owner of the company, yes.
Okay. So Serge and his father own this company.
Serge, his brother and his father, they own the company, yeah.
Okay.
They are watch collectors. They were watch collectors, still watch collectors, and they're from the same city as Armin Strom. It's a small town near Bern, the capital of Switzerland. So they're all from the same town. And so they knew each other since many years. They followed Armin Strom since many years, what he did. He was very famous in our town because he had this world... He had the smallest watch, which was skeletonized, and he had get this Guinness... World Records. Yes, exactly. So he was famous, and everybody knew what he did. And the family was watch collectors. So, and Armin Strom, he was looking for somebody who takes over the brand, so they met each other, and yeah.
Okay, and what is Mr. Strom's involvement now in the company?
We still have some shares. He is a member of the board. He's still involved with decisions on the brand, but he's not working anymore. He's 75 now,
wow.
And he's retired.
Wow.
So he's enjoying time with his wife.
Relaxing.
But he's still doing some skeletonization on movements, but it's just for fun, for himself. He doesn't sell them, so it's just for his own private collection.
Right.
He still does some skeletonizing. Yeah.
He must... Now, you know, how long has he been out of the company? Like,
now it's 2 years, nearly 2 years. Yeah.
How does he view the progression of the company?
He's very proud about it. He's always said it was a huge dream for him to have his own movements. And together with the family Michel, we were able to invest in machineries, to invest in new locations, to create this manufactory. And he said this was always a dream for him to have, under his name, his own calibers.
So
he's very proud of what's going on.
Amazing. Good for that. That's a testament to you guys, to the new team in place and to the brand, but more importantly, the tooling that you've invested in. You make your own movements, not 100%, but most, about 90% of your movements.
About 95%.
95% are made in-house. So I'm sure you get hands from somewhere, you get hairsprings from somewhere.
We have a supplier for hairsprings. We have a supplier for the jewels.
Right.
And for the mainspring. And then we do like dials, and hands dials are about 50% is made in-house.
Okay.
And about 50% is made by suppliers.
Great. And what, now your exact role in the company is?
I'm the director of the manufacturing.
Okay.
So I'm in charge of, I do all the designs and developments for our watches, and I also managed the whole manufactory.
Wow,
I was also building up in 2009. I had the chance to build up the manufactory. So Armin Strom, he was very in his skeleton business, and the Serge is a good friend of mine. So I joined them in 2007 to build up the manufactory.
Did you ever think that 7 years later, did you ever think that the brand would be where it is and that your involvement in the brand would be so, you would be such a key component of this company?
No, I think the success we have over the last 4 years, just unbelievable how we could, how the brand was growing. I mean, when I joined Armin Strom in 2007, we were three people. It was Serge, Mr. Armin Strom, and me.
Right.
And now today we are about 22 people.
Wow, that's huge.
So it's really, yes.
That's amazing. That's good for you. And, you know, to see the Royal Flush Tourbillon live, it's an absolutely stunning watch. It's almost 44 millimeters in size. It's made out of 18-karat pink gold, rose gold. And it's very unique. I mean, there's only four pieces. And you have an entire Royal Flush designation on the back with the cards and the poker chip on the back as well. And it's just amazing. What was the inspiration for you guys to make that watch? Why? I mean, obviously, you know, this is your first JCK, but was it for JCK specifically? Was it for Las Vegas specifically? Or was it like it just came up? Because, you know,
it came up of a passion of doing. I mean, we have a very good relationship in our team. We also play sometimes poker together, and this came out by a crazy idea when we played poker together. So somebody had a Royal Flush, and it was like when you have a Royal Flush in your hand, it's very unique.
Yes,
and so somebody said as a joke, yeah, it's as unique as a tourbillon, and this is how the story.
Oh,
started.
Wow, that's cool. And it just happens like that, where, you know, it's behind closed doors, you're playing poker with your friends.
Exactly.
And
we're playing poker with our team, with our watchmakers, one of the mechanic was there, and so we had a good fun at this night.
See,
we
be careful what you say in life.
And we had somebody had this Royal Flush in his hands, and we started talking, and then the idea was there, and the tourbillon was grown.
Now, you know, what is the distribution of Armin Strom like around the world? Is it, I mean, I understand you make 450 pieces, so there's not a lot of dealers, you don't have a lot of product, but what is your strongest market for the brand worldwide?
Today, the strongest market is Middle East. I think Dubai, Abu Dhabi. We have a lot of tourists buying watches there. So there are not many local people. We have a lot of Russians, Asians, Americans who are buying in Dubai. We have a very good partner over there. Very well trained staff. Then Europe, of course, Europe is a very important market. Eastern Europe as well as Mid-Europe. Now the US market is really picking up. Yeah. We have a lot of success with the size of the watch, with the style of the watch, so it really fits to the US, market
quite nicely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how do you market the brand? I mean, it's such a small brand. You know, you don't have a lot of distribution channels. Do you use traditional advertising, billboards, magazines, or do you subscribe to the modern day media, like everybody's using Twitter, Facebook, Instagram? YouTube channels, do you have those avenues also? Do you use both, or what do you find is working the best?
I think we have a mix of all those different marketing tools. So we do one side is we do the sponsorships. We have a partner. We are partner of a Formula One team, which is a worldwide event.
Okay.
We have our own sailing team, where we can travel with them, or we can do get with collectors, doing some nice venues for them.
Those are two great partnerships because, you know, I mean, you guys make, for the most part, you guys make very sophisticated, elegant watches, but you also have your own sports line of watches as well, which
the
are
racing collection,
the racing collection, which is 44 millimeters. They're polished titanium cases.
Big color cases, yeah.
Yeah.
Stainless steel PVD and titanium cases.
And they're beautiful. They're absolutely stunning. Yeah.
And the funny thing is that, so Amazon, we are a manufacturer and we are able to go deeper than just putting a logo on a watch. And the on this racing collection, actually, the one part of this of the movement is melted down from a Formula One engine.
Oh wow!
So when you buy this racing watch, you own exactly on your wrist. You can wear a part of Formula One.
Okay, that's very unique. That's
very
that,
unique.
That's that I've never heard of that.
No,
and from anyone.
Except nobody did it before.
Wow! And that's every Formula One watch.
Every watch out of the racing collection has some parts from a Formula One car.
Wow. Very cool. Now, was the relationship with the Formula One team, is that something that was a personal relationship, or did they come to you? Did you go to them? How did that...
It's a personal relationship we had with a good friend of us in London. He joined this team, this Formula One team, and so this is how the partnership became...
Amazing. And do you have branding on their car?
We have branding on the car. We have branding on one of the drivers. We have
on his suit.
We have Max Chilton, exactly. Yeah, he's actually out of a watch collector family. His father is a big watch collector. All his friends which supported him over the past the last 10 years to get a Formula One driver.
Yep.
They're all watch collectors, so we have funny dinners with them.
That's nice, and they wear Arm & Strom, I would think, proudly. Do you think that what do you feel is going to be the distribution channel in the U.S.? Because the U.S. accounts for 20%, normally to 25% of the overall production of most watch companies, major watch companies. Do you feel like, I mean, as you said, the U.S. market is growing for you. You know, is there a limit to how many dealers you want in the United States? Because, you know, again, over time you're going to increase your production, I would think, to accommodate the worldwide market.
Mm-hmm.
But is there, like, I don't want any more than 10 dealers, I don't want any more than 20 dealers? Like, is there a long-term strategy behind that?
As a niche brand, I think I would... Goal is to be very to have a very small distribution, but a very well established partners.
Okay.
Partners which are also enthusiasts for niche brands, and I think in the U.S., let's say with 10 retailers, we are good. Yes.
With 10 retailers.
10 retailers.
That's a good number. That's a healthy number, and you know, right now, do you have any distribution in New York?
Not yet, no.
Not yet.
We are in. We have a retailer in LA. We have a retailer in Texas, in Miami, in San Francisco, and not on the New York area. Not yet.
Okay. And what about you know, if a collector wanted to buy an Arm & Strom and. Can they buy it directly from you guys as the manufacturer? Do they have to go through the distribution channels you have? And are you guys open to welcoming these people to come in and tour the factory if they wanted, if they were interested in purchasing a watch?
We do. We're quite many people, it's always our watches are always sold through our retail partners, so we do not direct sales. So it's also a kind of a warranty problems, guarantees, shipments, and everything is much easier if we have local partners or we deal with local partners.
Okay.
But everybody's welcome to pick up the watch in Switzerland and to have a manufacturing tour to see how we do the watches and everything.
Okay. And now in terms of, you know, building brand awareness, you know, I mean, I know that you have... a few champions of your supporters of your brand, you know, in terms of bloggers, in terms of, you know, what we're doing right now, me interviewing you right now, that's kind of a way of spreading the message of the brand. Do you plan on doing more worldwide dinners, collectors' dinners, things like that, to showcase the brands or collectors' events or you know, more shows over time? Or do you feel like there's a specific way in which you want to project the image of the brand? Because I know, you know, what may work for one company may not work for another company.
I think for niche brands in general, get together with collectors, get together with retailers is one of the best things. I mean, to get the feedback from the collectors. Armin Strom is a brand that has to be communicated. You have to feel the brand. You have to feel the people which are behind, because there's a lot of passion in the watches. That we are all watch enthusiasts. So it's for us quite a good thing to get together with the collectors, to have dinners, to have shows. Yes, it's very important for us.
Okay, and do you think that one day the brand, do you see the brand, I mean right now I know that you have the round case. The round case is kind of your signature case with the lip. The lip is always going to be a signature of the brand, and so is the skeletonization. But do you see yourself branching out into ladies' watches? Do you see yourself branching out into, you know, different style case eventually?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, not ladies' watches. I think this is becomes a huge demand. So we have a lot of demand from ladies to have the watch a little bit reduced.
Okay.
I think so. In the next few years, we'll have a little bit smaller version of the watch, maybe a 40 millimeter.
Okay.
A little bit thinner than what we have now. And, I mean, yeah, why not the square one? We had the skeletons, we had square watches, we had round watches, we had any kind of watches.
Okay.
Everything is possible.
You never know what's going to happen. Yeah. And what about, like for you, as somebody who heads up as being a director of the factory, of the design, of the team, who inspires you as a watch brand, you know? Where do you get your inspiration from?
I'm a big fan of old watches, vintage watches, pocket watches, or even clocks.
Uh-huh.
And most of my inspirations are out of this traditional watchmaking products. Let's say the pocket watch is not. I'm not inspired by a new brand, because this is quite difficult. If you want to have your own DNA, it's very dangerous to be fan of a brand.
Right.
So it's better, and it's a passion for me to read the books and to see
the history of how they were made and stuff like that. But your brand is very interesting because it's conveyed in a very modern way, modern day sort of way, you know. It's sort of like, it's very technical and almost deconstructed, if you will. You know, when you look at it, it's a very modern brand. But yet, you definitely do pay tribute, you can see, to the art of watchmaking in a very traditional way as well. Which is not something that are mutually exclusive. I feel when I look at watches, it's very rare that you see the synergy between both styles. Either you're a modern brand or you're a traditional brand. You're not both. And you guys have been able to accomplish that. What do you think is the reason behind that success? Is it because of the continuity in your minds? Or is it because it's just the way the watches are designed? Or
I think it's the way the watches are designed. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of a modern... let's say it's more contemporary than modern. It's a new watch, so it was never the goal to have like a vintage old looking watch.
Right.
We wanted to have our own face. We wanted to have a clear identity of the watch, something new, something different, but based on the traditional watchmaking skills which the watch industry, the master watchmakers did over the last 400 years.
And do you think one day, like, you know, when Mr. Strom started back in the 60s, you know, looking at his earlier designs, do you think you'd ever bring back a design that he did specifically, like pay tribute to the founder kind of thing?
I think this would be possible, yeah, to do something like this.
That's great. And he's played a very important role in the watch industry. Can you tell us about that? Like, what role he played and what his significance. I know you mentioned he was one of the first to do skeletonization, but he also did stuff for a lot of different companies. Can you maybe explain that to, you know, the community at large, what his role was at that time, like why Mr. Strom was so respected?
I mean, he was believing in the mechanic movement. Had quite a heavy time in the 80s, 90s when the quartz movement started. So many brands, they stopped their mechanic production and they swept over to the quartz movement. And in this time, Armin Strom, he was skeletonizing watches. He was always believing in mechanic, in showing the mechanic and things like this. That's why he could do some work also for other brands, because he did his skeleton work, he showed the mechanic and things like this.
And wasn't he also featured in an Omega book?
Yes.
And that book is extremely important, right? It has a lot of relevancy as far as watchmaking goes today.
Mm-hmm.
What was the significance behind that book, and why was Mr. Strom in that book?
Because he was the only independent watchmaker which was named in this book in the 150 years of Omega. So he was the only one. And I think they had a lot of success with his skeleton watches in the 90s. It was a big thing for Omega to have this high-level haute horlogerie kind of watches.
Okay, great. Thank you, Claude. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you doing this today. We're now with the new owner and founder of Armin Strom. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing very well.
Welcome. To JCK. First. This is your first JCK?
Second. Actually, first JCK where we have a suite and showing the product.
Okay.
Last year was here just to see JCK, to compare JCK with Couture, to meet some people. And this year we decided to have the suite, share the suite with a few other people and brands.
Okay. Do you want to explain, you know, to the public at large about how you came about meeting with Mr. Strom, and why, first of all, explain to everybody where you're from, your full name, and, you know, how you got into the watch industry.
Okay. So my name is Serge Michel. Watches was always passion, of course. Family background is not the watch industry. Family background is the pharmaceutical industry. In Switzerland, so we are Swiss. But why watches? We know Armin Strom for a very long time. He's a close family friend. We lived in the same city as Armin Strom, so we very much appreciated his work, his watches, what he was doing. This is really real craftsmanship. So we knew him for a very, very long time already. And one evening, one word came to another. Armin Strom was looking for somebody to take on the brand into the future, because he was then around 65 years old, something like this. And so he knew if there's not somebody taking over the brand will disappear. And then we thought that, I mean, it was always a very nice product, and I saw much potential in it. So if you do something with the brand, if you do something with the name Armin Strom, with the DNA, what Armin Strom was doing,
sure.
If you invest a little bit of money, then I was sure that we can bring Armin Strom to a brand, not to a artisan, what he was before. Before Armin Strom was only doing unique pieces.
Right.
So it was not a real brand.
Right.
But the idea was then to bring Armin Strom from this artisan to a brand.
To a real watch brand. And I think you've accomplished that. I'm very, very honored and proud to be able to interview you today. And I can't thank you. A pleasure to meet you as well. And, you know, you've had a lot of success in a fairly short period of time. What do you attribute that success to? I mean, how hands-on are you in the creative development of the brand? And, you know, do you still, I'm sure you, being a very close family friend of Armin Strom, do you still talk to him, get inspiration from him, get advice from him? What exactly, how does that all work?
So yeah, the relationship today with Armin Strom, he's still a member of the board of directors. And he still is a very close friend, so he's not working actively anymore. He's 75 years old, but he comes to see us at least every second month, just to say hello to the people in the manufacturing, to have a coffee. He brings cake, so it's still a very good relationship.
That's amazing.
But his influence to the product today, it's not that strong anymore. Of course, we know what he was doing, and we very much appreciate what he was doing. And this is our DNA. So this is what we do today, but certainly in a more modern, in a maybe a little bit sportier, younger design than Armin Strom was doing it.
Okay.
But his idea of decorating and showing the watch movement, it's what you see also today in an Armin Strom.
Yeah, that's what I was, you know, speaking with Claude about, that, you know, you guys are able to convey the message of a modern-day brand.
Mm-hmm.
But with the integrity of what Mr. Strom was always trying to accomplish.
So I think we reached, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think that, you know, the brand has clearly evolved from the time he founded it in the 60s. You know, do you see the brand being distributed, you know, in more countries than it is? Is there a demand for it that you're just not in at the moment? Or do you feel like...
And we have customers worldwide. But we are not active in every market, of course.
Right.
I think we need to concentrate on a few markets. We cannot go to each and every country and be active. We're still a small team. And
sure.
And definitely we have a limited capacity of production. But of course, if we get a request from, let's say, Taiwan, it's a market where we're not active yet. But we have a few collectors in Taiwan. So what they do, they purchase our watches in Singapore, for example, or they travel to Dubai or maybe even in Switzerland.
Okay.
But it's not that we cannot be active in every country, of course.
And your role in terms of design or in terms of...
We sit together. I think with Claude and I, we are a very close team. I think we see each other almost every day. When I'm in Switzerland and he's in Switzerland, we see each other every day. So what we usually do, we have an idea of... Or we have a clear plan, strategy of a product strategy, what we're going to do next, in terms of complication, in terms of movement complication. Then Claude starts to design it. He's the designer, of course. So he starts to do first drawings on the computer, CAD designs on the computer. Then we look at them, he and I, together. Then we do maybe small changes, and then he starts to produce a first prototype.
I see.
And then from this prototype stage on, we sit together again, and then we do small changes.
Okay. So you work side by side?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. He is the creative. He is the creative mind of the company. It's not I, but I definitely have my ideas as well, and give my ideas into the product as well. But I think it's everybody at Armin Strom, even the watchmakers. If the watchmakers have a good idea, they can come up with the idea. Or if our marketing... A team has an idea, they can say it, and maybe who knows? Maybe we there's the influence of a whole team. I think.
And your brother's involved as well in the company.
He is also a shareholder.
Okay.
To say he's a shareholder, he is sometimes a little bit of a financial advisor as well. That's his main background. But he's not active. He's not active in.
He's sort of more silent. Yeah. Plays a more
yeah,
silent,
yeah,
more
yeah.
Brotherly role.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So he's active. Actually, the CEO of another company of the family. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I like how it's like a family business, and
I think it's
independent as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And sometimes when you're an independent, for the most part. The toughest part is to get financing,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it must be also a very unique transition going from a pharmaceutical company into a watch company.
So we still have the pharmaceutical company.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. No, but of course we had a clear business plan when we started Armin Strom, and we're doing well. I think the success of the product is today, it's that we, I mean, that we have a financial backing. I think you need this as a when you start a watch brand.
100%.
It's not a hobby.
No, it's beyond. It's way beyond.
So
at this point.
You need to know that you need to invest money, but you need to know, or you can really, well, you can also earn money with a watch brand. Absolutely, and that's the goal. Of course, every business to earn money. It's not as I said.
No, of course, of course, of course. Now, how is it? You know, there's so many independent watchmakers today. You know, that are trying to fight for the same thing that you are.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the reason behind the visibility of a brand like Armin Strom that has very low production numbers? Like, how did that sort of, what was the catalyst? You know, what, like, did one fine day, how did, because I know I started hearing about Armin Strom like 4 or 5 years ago, you know, and I think most people don't really know what the brand is, you know. I mean, you have to really know watches to know what Armin Strom is.
Absolutely.
How do you think you were able to spread that message to be taken seriously as an independent watchmaker?
I think one reason of the success is our clear, visible identity. So when you see an Armin Strom, you know that it's an Armin Strom watch. So one of the reasons is that we have one case, for example, and we always show the one case, the same case. We show the same angle of the watch. So we show the movement. So you have a clear, when you close the eye and you think of Armin Strom, you see a watch. It's maybe a little bit of the Audemars Piguet or Hublot or also Rolex idea of just promoting
consistency
of one design. I think this is very important. I think this is what we wanted to do when we said Armin Strom. We need to have a clear identity of the.
You need to have an icon that everybody can.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then as well, I think we proved that we are a very active and innovative brand in terms of when we presented our first in-house movement. This was in 2009, and since then we have about 6 or 7 different references. So we're very fast, and I think this is something the press very much appreciated, the professionality, I think, of the team, our manufacturer, which is a real manufacturer. So we're not just saying we are a manufacturer. We have all the machines, we have the watchmakers, we have the design in-house. So what you can see at Armin Strom in Biel, it's real.
Absolutely.
It's real, it's here. And I think the journalists, they appreciate this, they like this, and they also like to write about Armin Strom. That's why we had quite a lot of coverage the last few years.
Good for you, and I hope this it continues, and I'm sure it will only grow to get stronger, you know, and I will do whatever I can to support it. I
appreciate very much.
Thank you. No, it's my pleasure. You know, I think it's... I know there are some watch companies, independents, that offer something unique that other mainstream brands don't. Some offer more warranty, some offer more of a different experience, additional warranties, what have you. Is there anything that Armin Strom offers that other watch companies don't offer?
I think for what we see as also what is important, I think, for an exclusive brand, what differs us to the other exclusive brands, is that we can offer to the retailer a full range of watches, at least what price wise.
Okay.
So we have a price, entry level price of around $10,000, and we're going all the way up to $140,000-$150,000 in our regular collection, and we have everything in between. And when you see all the more exclusive brands, usually they have one product or two products, and so I think it's more difficult to sell through a retailer if you only can offer one product.
Right.
So for us, the retailers, they appreciate they can have a brand and they have different
options
and different buyers for a watch, for one brand. I think this is something really, it's different when within the exclusive brands.
But
in terms of mean warranty, I think it's we are very if a watch comes back within usually we give 2 years of warranty.
Right.
When a watch comes back in 3 years or 4 years, and we see it's not destroyed by the wearer, we fix it. So it's not that we charge.
Okay, that's great. And does that cover? That covers the movement only, right? Not the wear and tear of the case.
Yes, For tourbillons, we get 5 years as well.
You get 5 years?
Tourbillons, yeah.
And it's that's pretty, I mean, they're pretty reasonably priced. You can get into an Armin Strom for $10,000.
Yeah.
When you look at companies that still use ETA movements that are now $10,000.
Or more, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, with a lot of decoration.
Yep.
You also have it on the $10,000 watch. You have a incredible decoration. We have hand engravings, we have polishing. And you know, at Armin Strom, you always see the movement not only from the back side, you also see it from the front side. This is also by the $10,000 watch. So there, it's a lot of working hours invested into the decoration of the movement.
Yeah,
so it's a very reasonable price. I think Armin Strom generally, we are not also the tourbillons for a double barrel tourbillon in house. 78,000. It's
amazing.
It's a good price.
It's been a very good
price.
We
are not an expensive brand at all. So.
No, I mean,
but things why we can offer the good quality to for this price is because we have the capacity in house. We don't have to go to external partner and pay them. We can really do it in house. So we have a very lean cost structure as well.
And that tooling, which leads me to. When Claude joined the company in, 2007,
mm-hmm.
How has the company changed since Claude has joined the company?
Very much, very much. I think the purpose to bring Claude to the company was to change the direction of the company. We knew where to go, but we needed Claude. Because I'm not a watchmaker, I'm not a designer, I'm not the constructor, but we had our vision, and Claude was... is here to
bring it to another level.
To bring it there where we want to go. Yes.
Amazing. And he's very passionate about
the
brand.
Absolutely, yeah, of course. I mean, it's his brand as well. It's the same his brand as it's my brand. It's not that.
That's great. That's wonderful. And it's great to see that, you know, you hear all kinds of stories in the watch industry.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what the real story is, but you can definitely see that you both have the ultimate respect for each other, and that you guys are friends as well.
Yes, that's true.
You know,
yeah.
And that's amazing to see, and that's translated in the watches.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that when he talks about it, he owns it. You know,
exactly. Yeah,
and it's his baby just as much as your baby.
Absolutely.
Do you think that the brand is, you know, with your partnerships with Formula One and yachting and things
mm-hmm.
like that? I'm sure you guys must be open to other partnerships as well, because, you know, those are obviously two different worlds from horology, but those people who are into sailing or who are into Formula One are definitely into watches.
Yes. First of all, we just do partnerships where we, Claude and I, things we like personally. I mean, there's also a lot of golfers wearing watches, but I don't golf a lot.
Right.
So
right.
There's no purpose to sponsor a golfer or a tennis player, because we're not... So we both like fast cars, we like sailing, that's why we go in this direction.
That's good.
I think we everything you need, everything you do, you need to do with passion, and not just choose something because it brings you coverage or brings
yeah.
you... we work so much, Claude and I, we work so much, so we need to love what we do, we need to like what we do.
No, that's important.
And so if you do something you like more... you do it better, I'm sure.
Absolutely, because you were 100% behind it.
Absolutely.
And now, with the capacity of, you know, where would you like to see, you know, over 5 to 10 years, the brand grow in terms of production numbers?
We definitely grow the brand. I see the brand in about 5 years, from 450 pieces today. To maybe 1,500 to 2,000 watches.
Yeah, that's a good healthy number.
Yes.
And it's still, I mean, incredibly exclusive.
It's still, absolutely, it's incredibly exclusive, yeah.
And so that's what a lot of people don't understand when they're paying for watches, or they pay $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000.
Mm.
Why is it that much?
Mm-hmm.
Or what?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think one of the things I would like to do as an educator, as a journalist myself, is to be able to relay the message of Armin Strom and brands like yours by, you know, A, through this medium that we're doing right now, but also through being able to bring people to your factory, showing them how these things are done.
We love to show do tours in our manufactory, so the doors are always open. If you have a few people yourself, of course, you're invited. Sure.
Thank you.
And if you want to bring a few people with you, please. I think it's what you said. When people come to Biel to watch to see Armin Strom, they understand the price. So they see the details. They see, oh, and a watch are 200 individual parts. They are all produced at Armin Strom, but they're not just produced on the machines. They have been
hand
finished and decorated before they're going to be assembled. So then they see and they understand, and then suddenly there's a completely different relation to the price.
That's great. And you know, Claude was saying you went from, you know, yourself, Mr. Strom, and Claude to now, what, 25 people in this?
Yes, yeah.
That's
yeah.
amazing. In a seven-year, you know, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. When you... Are you traveling a lot for the purpose of the brand, mostly? I mean, I know you have other businesses as well, but... Would you say that, you know...
I travel a lot for the purpose of the brand, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. And
sometimes I link it with other things, but for Vegas, I'm coming for the brand.
That's wonderful.
And to enjoy Vegas.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's honestly, and the reception to the brand has been amazing. You know, I think the Royal Flush Tourbillon is phenomenal.
That's a great piece, and that's a cool watch.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I had a chance to hold it,
yeah.
to photograph it. To have it on my wrist. And when you see a watch like that, that's so unique, you know, just hearing the story even from Claude, how you guys were playing poker one day,
mm-hmm.
and it just evolved
mm-hmm.
from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To me, that's really interesting because you're not beholden to any, you know, it's like these things happen randomly. It's not,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
And that must be part of the fun for you as well,
mm-hmm.
that it's not a conventional...
Yeah, then the whole thing, the whole story with it, I mean, you went to poker... playing, and then we had this photo shooting going on. It was also for our team. It's on the photograph, they're all our team members. There's watchmakers, there's one of the mechanics, the lady who's on the picture, she's engraving, she did the engravings on the watch. So
that's very cool.
Team was involved. So for them, it's a very close relationship as well.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, before you guys came, before we had the dinner the other night
mm-hmm.
here at the Mandarin Oriental, I, you know, of course, I knew about Armin Strom, but I'd briefly gone on your website a couple of years ago, and I hadn't been on it since, and I saw
mm-hmm.
the picture of the scene of the poker scene,
okay.
And
okay.
and how the watch would be unveiled in Las Vegas at the Mandarin Oriental, and me being, you know, the official watch concierge for the Mandarin Oriental... naturally, before meeting you, I needed to know more about it. So
mm-hmm.
I wrote about
so
it and immediately posted it on my website.
Okay.
And I have to say, I was completely blown away.
Okay.
So
thank you.
Congratulations to you for everything. And I really appreciate you doing this. And I know that the brand is heading in the right direction. I can see it just from the, you know, my fellow colleague, Kyle Stultz from Perpetual,
yeah.
who was here yesterday.
Yeah.
We're very good friends.
Okay.
We bounce ideas off each other a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We had lunch yesterday after we left here and saw
mm-hmm.
the brand, and
mm-hmm.
he's totally in love with your brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
I know, yeah, he likes
that's
the
amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He does good write-ups.
He does.
He
very.
He knows the industry. He knows also the technical aspect of watches. And
he does. He does.
He's a real watch guy.
He is,
yeah.
he is.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because he became a watch guy, you know, he was never really in the watch industry before that. And that's what I find really unique about this time period right now is that most of the guys who are writing, they don't have the reference of being in the industry before.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they've kind of taught themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really respect that. And there are very few guys out there like Kyle who aren't just, not just passionate about watches like yours, but they're really nice people. They're really down to earth. Because, you know, in this industry, it's like some people think they're God.
Yeah, you see
know?
Everything. I agree. Yeah, so. I agree.
Thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was my one-on-one interview with Claude and Serge from Armin Strom. As you can see, they're both not just in the watch industry, but they're really good friends, and you can see their passion and their love for Armin Strom transcends, and you can see that in the brand. So thank you, Claude and Serge. I'd also like to thank Shalboy Music and DJ Flipside for providing the musical tracks to this podcast. If you want to know what's going on with me and the watch industry, you can log on to my website at www.amitdevehonda.com. You can check out my Instagram, my Twitter, and my Facebook. And until we meet again, rock on and fly back.